from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Hello there, you're listening to the English service from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You can listen to this program on voanews.id, application RRI Digital, and also on our shortwave 3324 kHz, 4755 kHz. Today, I'm Steve, I will be in here with you. Stay tuned with us at the English service Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Here's the news first, the headlines. Prabowo calls Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and other leaders. New Indonesian Navy warship official arrives in the country. And here is the news in detail. Indonesia's President Prabowo Subianto contacted the leaders of Muslim countries by phone on Monday, amid the Eid al-Fitr holiday season, including Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Cabinet Secretary Teddy Indrawijaya said, besides extending his Eid greetings, the communication was part of efforts to strengthen bilateral relations between Indonesia and its friendly countries. In this context, President Prabowo's talk with President Mahmoud Abbas symbolized Indonesia's consistent, unwavering support for Palestinian people. Beside President Abbas, world leaders contacted by Prabowo, including Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Saudi Arabian Prime Minister Mohammed bin Salman, and Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim. Indonesian Navy's newest warship, KRI Prabu Siliwangi 321, has officially entered Indonesian waters on Monday after completing a transoceanic voyage across the Atlantic and Indian Oceans as the final stage of the Jala Raksa 26 crossing operation since last February. The vessel's arrivals were greeted by another warship, KRI Bung Karno 369, through a passing exercise demonstrating the interoperability and solidarity between naval units in safeguarding national jurisdictional sovereignty. The warship is scheduled to be officially commissioned in Jakarta in late March 2026, before joining the Indonesian Fleet Command to strengthen the nation's maritime defense posture. Still about defense, Indonesian Ministry of Defense, together with the National Armed Forces, is preparing measured and gradual fuel efficiency measures to anticipate global geopolitical dynamics that may affect energy stability. In an official statement on Monday, they announced internal adjustments of an administrative and managerial nature. The Ministry of Defense explained that the efficiency measures are focused on supporting aspects, while strategic operations and defense readiness remain the top priority. These measures include regulating the use of resources more effectively and based on priorities, including in the operation of main weapon system and official mobility. In addition, several policy options are being prepared, including adjusting the work week from 5 days to 4 days in certain functions, regulating the use of weapon systems based on priority indices and operational needs, as well as limiting the use of official vehicles and employee shuttle transportation while still ensuring the effectiveness of task implementation. The Indonesian government is strengthening transportation safety measures during the post-Eid holiday return period as millions of people travel back to major cities. The Ministry of Transportation has urged all transport operators to ensure that vehicles are roadworthy and in optimal condition. Director General of Land Transportation Aan Suhanan emphasized that both bus and ferry operators must check their fleets before operation. The government is also monitoring weather conditions, as the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency has forecast heavy rain and strong winds in several regions across the country. While it's nerd, that was the news. Coming up next is commentary titled Safeguarding the Seas, Maintaining Global Stability by Anna Trijayakasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is a country comprised of islands and archipelagos, with the sea as the main connector, not the separator. Therefore, maritime strength is not merely an option, but a necessity. The arrival of the Indonesian Navy's new warship, the KRI Prabu Siliwangi 321 from Italy on Monday, serves as a reminder that maritime defense readiness must be continuously maintained. The ship arrived after a long voyage across the ocean and immediately demonstrated its capabilities in joint exercises. For Indonesia, this is not just about expanding its fleet, but also about ensuring that each defense area can function properly and coordinated. However, what needs to be underscored is the direction of this strengthening. Indonesia is not building its power to demonstrate dominance, but rather to preserve the seas and ensure the security of sea lanes. In a region like the Indo-Pacific, where global trade traffic is heavily dependent on the sea, stability is a shared interest. The KRI Prabu Siliwangi 321 is not only a symbol of modernization, but also a symbol of Indonesia's commitment to maintaining maritime security. This ship will be part of a broader effort to protect maritime territory and maintain international confidence in shipping lanes in the Indo-Pacific region. Ultimately, Indonesia's maritime power is part of a larger responsibility, maintaining peace and stability not only for the national interest, but also for the global economy. That was commentary.
Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin kita berdua duduk di taman, bermain ular tangga, menari-nari bebas. Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin. Rasa ku lihat awan menari, ternyata seperti permen kapas. Biar angin bertiup, kita rentangkan harap. Rasanya masih baru kemarin. Na 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 la 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 na 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 na. Rasanya sudah tak sabar lagi menanti kamu yang menemani. Biar semua berjalan, hadapilah rintangan. Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin. La 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 la. Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin berjumpa denganmu sore hari, berteman buih ombak, menghirup wangi gulali. Rasanya baru kemarin. Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin. Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin.
Lung is vulnerable to a lot of diseases. However, many diseases are very preventable. Here is the explanation of PhD researcher at University of Groningen, the Netherlands, Dr. Oke Dimas Asmara.
First, I want to mention about lung infection, because infection is very, very common, especially the last couple of weeks. I think I saw news, there's a lot of people in Jakarta and Southeast Asia as well, contacted by flu, influenza, so it's a viral infection. But also we have pneumonia, which is a bacterial infection to your lungs. And the important things, and we already fight for it for decades, for centuries, is tuberculosis infections. Because right now Indonesia is, I think, is number 2 in the world regarding the highest number of tuberculosis patients. So we have a lot of people with tuberculosis. So you need to keep your lungs from these diseases. Infection is the first one. And then we can go to cancer, of course, lung cancer. I mentioned lung cancer is the deadliest cancer, but it is also somewhat is the most preventable cancer among the others, because we know the main risk factor, which is smoking. So we should avoid smoking to avoid lung cancer eventually. So it's good to know this disease as well. Other than that, it is somewhat very not too often mentioned in Indonesia. It's called COPD, but it's very, very popular in the world. Even it's like number 3 in terms of mortality rates. So COPD is abbreviation for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. In Indonesia, it's called PPOK, penyakit paru obstruktif kronik. So it is the destruction of your lungs because of smoking or inhaling substances hazards for over 10-20 years. So it will get really bad, and it can cost your life, to be honest. And yes, this disease is needed for you. But I think there's a couple of things that you also need to know, especially about the things that we can do to avoid that, especially the first one about infection, because we now have vaccination. So vaccination not only for kids, but also for adults, especially flu vaccination. Flu vaccination is very much beneficial. it can avoid us from getting flu over the time, and it can reduce the severity of the disease itself. So you can get once in a year. And for a vulnerable population like the elderly, you can also get pneumonia vaccination. It can keep you safe from a pneumonia infection. So yes, there's a lot of things that we can do. But first, if you have symptoms that persistent more than 2 or 3 weeks, or you, for example, you're coughing of blood or colored mucus, and you have a shortness of breath, or there's a sound on your breathing, please go see your doctor because it needs to be checked further in details. Yeah.
For more detail about lung health, you can check our VOI talk on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
All the times you left my texts unread, all the times you stayed with her instead, waking up in a night to an empty apartment alone. Should've listened to my girls day one, feeling like a victim, hit and run, like a curse keeping me in a coma 100 years. Now you come back crying, tell me I'm your queen, crying all the tears. And now you have done is out of reach, no pressing one, no more redial, leaving an embarrassing message at the tone. But I won't ever call you back, so don't bother trying that. Don't bother calling me, don't bother calling me, the message at the tone.
The number you have dialed is currently out of reach. The number you have dialed is currently out of reach. The number you have dialed is currently out of reach. The number is currently out of reach.
Finding you on social media, going out when you said you were home. Do you think I'm a fool when you said that she was just a friend? Every day with you felt tedious. Didn't like the girl I had become. Like a spring I'm released with the speed of light from you. Now you come back crying, tell me I'm your queen, crying hollow tears.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. and listener, usually a lot of people before, during, and after eat are concerned with their finances, especially when people are getting holiday allowances, locally known as THR. It is big by number, but sometimes when people are in euphoria, they forget about their own spending, and sometimes some person can spend too much. So for everyone, here is the VOA talk about making the money works.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listeners, today we are joined by Liquina Hananto, CEO and lead financial trainer of QM Financial, to talk about something that is relevant to everyone: how to manage our money wisely in today's economic situation. In this interview, we'll explore practical strategies on budgeting, saving, investing, and how to avoid common financial mistakes. Whether you're just starting your financial journey or trying to build better habits, this session will give you clear, realistic guidance to make smarter financial decisions. So, let's jump right into the interview. Before we start, hello, Bu Liquina Hananto, how are you today?
Hello, how are you? Good to see you. Good to talk to you today.
Thank you so much. We're very happy to be joined by you on Voice of Indonesia. So, Bu, what are some common budgeting mistakes people should avoid?
There's not much, really. The main thing is, the main mistake people do is usually to budget too much or not to budget at all. So people tend to do the extreme. When you budget too much, you forget that there are things you need to live by and cannot live without. For example, for food, for utility bills, for transportation, these are things that you need to budget properly. But a lot of people, they budget so much on necessity, they forget that life is not just about necessity. So contrary to popular belief, people tend to ignore your wants and only fulfill your needs. I believe people need to fulfill both their needs and wants, because usually when you don't budget enough for your lifestyle, you tend to sort of quote-unquote steal from your necessity bills. So most common mistake would be not to budget enough for yourself, including your lifestyle expenses.
So even the wants need to be fulfilled, Yabu.
Yeah.
For some people, how much money, or we're not talking about some people in general, how much money should we make in a month in this economy? Realistically, how many jobs we should be taking?
Ideally or realistically? That would be two different states, right?
You can ideally answer however you want.
Just one job should be enough to cover for everything, because you only have one life. If you push too much beyond your limits, it will take the toll on your body and your mental. I believe that people need to be healthy physically, mentally, and financially, and taking too many jobs is never good for you. Having too much money is also never good for you. Having enough is actually very good for you. So I cannot say realistically or ideally how much we need to be earning. Upah minimum provinsi or regional that is now being discussed by the government actually has taken into consideration different aspects of expenses within our lives. And of course, everybody will say it's not enough. So I cannot actually mention a certain number, because everybody will have their own way of life, their own background. For example, I cannot say generally, is 5 million in this economy enough for someone living in Jakarta, when one person is living on the outskirts of Jakarta but working in Jakarta, while the other would be living right in the city, in the center. One person might be a single person not supporting anybody, but another person might be a single person supporting 10 people in their families. Then the issue should not be the salary, the issue should be where you live, who you live with, and then your expenses will be dictated by that components.
I see. Now, for some people, managing money is difficult and even stressful. What's the first step for a realistic financial plan, according to you?
It should not be difficult. It should be as natural as breathing. It should be as natural as having your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But apparently having breakfast, lunch, and dinner is not naturally done by everybody. Some people are stressed also about having their meals. Know your how you live your life. We tend is not a living being. Money does not have feelings, so stress towards money is unnecessary, because capacity to respond controlling money instead of money controlling us. And therefore the first step is to understand how you live your life. Your money will follow how you live your life. If you live extravagantly, that means you will blow a lot of money out of your pocket. But if you live within your means, then you will know where your money is going. And you, if you live below your income, it will also show. So the first step, I think, is to understand how you live, so you understand which expenses is necessary and which expenses is unnecessary, and which expenses that you genuinely want to exist even though it's unnecessary. And that way you will understand yourself better, and the more we understand ourselves better, the better we will understand how we behave with our money.
Okay, now this is from my own input, because around Gen Z, as I am myself, we have this, of course, a lot of knowledge from TikTok. A lot of people teach things
yes.
in TikTok.
TikTok finance is booming.
Yeah, TikTok finance. And one of the methods that they teach there is the 50, 30, and 20 method, where you spend 50% of what you're getting for your needs, and then 30 for savings, and 20 for wants. What do you think about that?
It's doable, but not for everybody. I mean, in this economy, who can save 30%? Let's be realistic. I have this rule of thumb that is still not applicable to anybody, but it can be a guidance. So the guidance will be the 1-2-3-4 rules. The 1-2-3-4 rules is basically minimum 10% for savings. So if you can do more, it's fantastic. Maximum 20% is for your lifestyle. So if you can do below that, that's fantastic. A maximum 30% is for your loan installments. And then around 40%, usually more than this, is for your necessities. And therefore, when you do your budgeting and when you calculate how much money you are spending within a month, you can sort of find out, oh, I'm spending 20% for my loan installment, is that a good thing? And then you look at the golden rule, the rule of thumb that I spoke about earlier. If maximum is 30%, if you're spending less than that, if you're spending only 20% on loan installment, that means you're in good financial check. So in that 1-2-3-4 rule, pay attention to how much you save for your future, and pay attention to how much you pay for loan installment. If you pay more for loan installment, chances are you're not saving enough. That's just the golden rule. So make sure you watch out with your loan installment, because a lot of people have troubles with their loan installment. If it's above 30%, there's a huge possibility you will not be able to save any money. The second one will be your lifestyle spending. Lifestyle spending above 20% is red light. It should be less than 20%. And if you want to spend more than 20% of your income on lifestyle, you need to save a little bit and create a separate account that will allow you to spend more. For example, Gen Z loves to travel and love to go to concert, right? That would definitely be above 20% of your income. That's okay, but you save for it. So you have a saving account separately, and then you save your money in there with your 10% or 20% income. So your 20% lifestyle expense should be only for your daily activities or weekly activities. Say if you want to go to movies, if you want to hang out with your friends, if you want to go for coffee shops, that would be for the 20% per month. But if you want to spend more than that, have a separate saving account. Save for your concert and do go traveling as much as you want while you're still young.
Wow. This is fun because you're still telling the youth to still have fun.
I've been doing this for more than 20 years, and I'm a firm believer that you need to enjoy your money.
Yes.
But you need to enjoy it accordingly, and you need to make sure it's not costing you your future. And I think that's what a lot of people don't think about. Your money today is basically preparing your future.
And I believe the underlying word that we need to highlight here is responsible, being responsible,
yes.
Basically. So you mentioned about saving. The youth, the Gen Z, can go to concerts and doing what they want and have a separate account for saving. But in my opinion, most of my friends also, they struggle to save money. Besides the rule of thumb, the golden rule that you just teach us, do you have any practical tips for people that struggle to save?
Well, that's the problem. People who cannot save, one of the main reasons is because their income is so low, it's not enough for their daily necessity. For that, I think financial planning is not the answer. The answer would be public policy. The answer will be creating a better environment that creates better jobs, better income. Then the discussion would not be with me. With me, we always have to work within our means. So answering to your question would be my second answer. Most people who cannot save, other than those who are underprivileged and earn very little and cannot even live with their salary, those who can actually live with their salary, the reason people cannot save is because they don't have a goal. Think about it. If I talk to a 25-year-old and tell them, save for your pension, that is not exciting at all. That is not something you look forward to. You're just starting out with your career. You don't look forward to pension.
Yes.
If you talk to someone who's my age, we are basically scared about pension right now, and we will have the urgency to save for our pension, but not a 25-year-old. So instead of having goals that are too adulting, I would say, let's create goals that are attainable and makes you excited to save for your future. So going to concert is by any meaning very short term, but it's still a goal. Like, you want to go to a concert in 2 months. You want to travel for December, which is technically next month because it's already the 30th of October. You will have to create goals that is exciting for you, attainable for you, no matter how short term it is, but it's still a goal. So when we talk about the future, don't look at the future as 30 years from now. Think about the future as next month. Think about the future as 3 months from now. Think about the future as 6 months from now. What I want to happen is for young people to have a financial plan, thinking about the future, but something that is feasible to you, which may be very short term, and that's fine. Maybe sound less important, but that's fine. But what happens is if you have something to look forward to, you start to save your money, you start to have a habit. When you start to have a habit, later on in life, finally, you're ready to start a different goal, like a down payment for that house you want, which is, very heavy for some young people, or going for Hajj, or going for pension even. It's no longer scary to create goals that is very serious, and it's no longer a burden to start saving for bigger goals because you already have the habit and starting with the smaller goals, such as going to concert or simply going for holiday with your friends. So yes, a lot of people cannot save because they don't have a goal. So start your goal and be free with what goal you want in life.
No matter what the goals, as long as it's attainable and you break it into smaller type of goals, short-term goals, Honestly, I'm loving this. I feel like I'm in a class.
It's better than TikTok finance.
Exactly. It's from an actual expertise. And also, I believe that the VR listeners are also noting down their notes on their notebook or their phones, because I am. Surely I am. And we also want to know, how can someone balance between spending for enjoyment and maintaining financial discipline? Because you mentioned before about loan installment, and nowadays it's very popular to use pay later, or we call it maybe pinjol and stuff like that, because people are easily tempted to buy something impulsively, that everything must be purchased right now instead of saving money until you can buy it cash. Because let's talk about, we already mentioned about TikTok and stuff like that. Now TikTok live streaming, other e-commerce live streaming usually use the promotion tactic of, if you're not buying it right now. Hello, Book, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Okay. If you're not buying it right now, the prices will go up higher, and all of those kind of tactics. What do you think? How can someone balance this between spending and also maintaining their discipline, financial discipline?
Okay, I think nowadays it's a lot easier because we use the digital bank account. If you notice, a lot of digital banks now have digital accounts, multiple accounts within one app. For example, so if you have your phone with you, and you have your digital account with you, usually a digital bank will allow you to open more than 10 virtual accounts within your own account. Make use of that and separate the money within those pockets. For example, the main account will be to receive your salary and for your everyday activities. And then there will be a second account that basically says your daily expenses. So you separate your daily expenses for the entire month to that account. This is what I do. And then there's a weekly one, which is totally different. And then there's a monthly one, which is another different expenses. And then you can start with your concert savings, your traveling savings, etc. So for example, when you are faced with the reality that you want to purchase something and you need to purchase it now, the only thing between you and that thing you want to buy or that experience you want to buy is money. Why do people use pay laters? Why do people start going into pinjol? It's basically because the money is not there. But if you prevent that from happening to yourself by saving it first, by allowing your money to flow into these different virtual accounts, and it has its own post, then you will notice that you don't need the pinjol, you don't need the pay later, because you have your own money to purchase that. Nothing is stronger than self-motivation. Nothing is stronger than your own personal tenacity to say no to such consumptive loans simply because you don't need them. You're not exposed to it, so you don't need them. And because why would you pay so much interest when you have the money in a couple of weeks, when you already save the last 3 months? You haven't spent on anything, but finally today you want to buy something and the money is sitting there doing nothing, ready for you to purchase, and you're allowed to purchase it because you have separated this money into a specific post that says you can do whatever you want with me. So that's, I think, the beauty of financial planning. It's not about telling you not to buy stuff, but it's actually telling you go for it because you have the money. But the principle is the same. Do you have the money? Can you actually afford it? When you use pinjol or pay later, it basically spells out you cannot afford it. At this point, I can only ask the viewers, the audience, to basically ask yourself, are you going to continue lie to yourself about this, or are you going to take charge and tell yourself, I'm going to be truthful to myself and I'm going to say, I want to make sure my money is there available. The funny part is, when you start saving, you start to have better relationship with your money. Most people will decide to wait before they purchase something. So all these impulsive urges happen to those who cannot save. But once you start learning how to save, tell me more. Do you feel that that urge to buy impulsively decline or not? That would be a great social experiment, by the way.
Yeah, true. I do agree. And we're talking about saving and also financial planning. So we have to talk about investing, right? I want to know, when should someone start investing and where should they begin? Do you have any tips or tricks or advice for those who are beginners?
Okay, here's the thing. A lot of people say low risk, low return, high risk, high return. That's not true. The truth is low risk, low return, high risk, maybe yes, maybe no return. If you're ready to face the no return, then you're ready for investing. So I get a lot of questions like this. Where do I park my money with high return and no risk? Then the answer is there's none. Every decision we make, whether it's not investing, even when it's saving, there's risk involved in it as well. So if you are not ready to face no return when you're investing, or even worse, you lose your money when you're investing, then you should not be investing. So investment involves risk. And when I say that, it means we need to have a tolerance of the risk involved. And to my best ability, I believe that it means also about time management, about time period of the investment. And therefore, if this is about short-term goals, we talk about going to concert and traveling within 6 months, that is called short-term goals. Anything below 1 year is short-term. Even anything below 3 years, anything below 5 years, that's short-term. It's less likely for you to need to invest your money if your goal is less than 5 years. But if your goal is more than 5 years, more than 10 years, more than 15 years, we face inflation, and then investment needs to be involved, because no matter how much we save, it's not going to be able to work against inflation. And if we look at age, the younger you save or invest, the better you are, because your best friend, your bestie through investment is time. So the longer you invest, for example, we talk about pension. I know it's scary to talk about pension with Gen Z, but if you talk about pension, that's in what, 30 years from now, you have better chance to accumulate more wealth than people who are at 52, for example. I'm not saying it's not possible for someone to start investing for pension after 45, but still, with the time frame available to you, you have better opportunity and chances to accumulate more wealth because the time frame is so low. We will face a lot of, how do you say this without scaring people? Depression.
Yes.
We will face a lot of different crises, economic crisis and economic depression. So the economic cycle goes like that. It goes up and down. In this frame of 30 years, it's likely you will face at least 3 to 5 economic crises. So even though you go through different economic crises, because of the time frame, investing is no longer scary because you will ride like a surf wave. You will ride this crisis like a surf wave.
Wow.
And therefore, if anyone is now afraid of investment, don't be. There are only two reasons you're afraid of investing. The first one is because you don't understand the products, which is easy to counter because that means you just need to learn it. But the second one, you are afraid of investing because you're afraid you will lose money. Then if you look at the time frame of 30 years, there's no way you're going to lose money because when the tide goes down, you ride with it. And when the tide goes up, you ride with it. So the economic crisis is there for you to take advantage of it if the time frame is longer. But if it's the next 2 months, the next 6 months, you face economic crisis, you don't have enough time to ride it back up. And therefore, for a short-term period, you don't need to invest. You just need to save. So before you start investing, learn how to save first.
Wow, that's a great, great lesson, in my opinion. If you're not ready, start saving first, then yes. investing. What financial habit or mindset do you think every individual should start practicing to build a stronger financial future? You mentioned about saving a lot, but maybe you can make it into a final closing statement where it's strong and the VOI listeners immediately gets it.
I know there are technical terms about saving and investing, but financial planning is actually a lot about psychology. So
wow.
I would like everybody to learn how to be honest to themselves, be true to yourself, and in financial term, live within your means. Stop lying to yourself about things that you cannot afford, because we should not be spending our money to impress people that we don't know. So let's be honest and let's be truthful, because your money represents how you behave towards yourself.
Wow, what a closing statement. Thank you so much, Bulikwina Hananto.
It's a pleasure.
So
thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing valuable insights and practical financial strategies. Hopefully, this discussion helps us all take the first step toward a financial planning and a better stability in planning our financial. For more educational content and inspiring conversation, don't forget to stay tuned and follow our channel on VOI Official. I'm Unika, and see you on the next VOI Talk.
Voice of Indonesia.
listener, have you ever imagined what if your death was celebrated by many of your peers and everyone around you? Imagine there's a parade around town after your death where crowds of people play music and dances. However, all this is done with pure love and no grudge at all. In Bali, the deceased are paraded to the afterlife for a sacred cremation ritual called Ngaben. Ngaben is a Balinese cremation ritual. In Balinese Hinduism, they believe one soul cannot move on until the body is properly purified by fire. So, this cremation ritual is an honorable duty. The deceased are being placed in a bowl-shaped coffin for males, or cow-shaped for females, and then paraded around town, carried by a group of people from the family home accompanied by a line of women with offerings on their head to a public cremation site, where there is a cremation pagoda tower or wadu. The body will then be cremated along the coffin and the tower. In the West, people attend funerals in black and silence. In Ngaben, everything is louder and more colorful. It is full of chants and prayers, and traditional Balinese music played in gamelan and dance performances. Everyone participating will wear traditional garbs. Sometimes the ceremony will be held for more than one body, and so lots of family members will participate. The ceremony, however, will not be held right away after someone is passing, and can happen weeks, months, even years after. The family might need to save money or wait for the right day, as chosen by the priest. Sometimes, you can see the Ngaben ceremony when visiting Bali. If you're curious about it, please be polite. Avoid wearing casual clothes or getting too close to the cremation, as you can disturb the ritual and disrespect the departed. With a funeral ceremony being held in the most unique ways of festivity and thick of Hinduism, Ngaben is a cultural heritage that makes Bali a must-visit once in a lifetime. Listener, death is the Indonesian wonder of Ngaben, Bali.
Listener, if you want to stay updated with accurate and reliable news from Voice of Indonesia and RRI stations across the country, rri.co.id is your answer. rri.co.id, the official news portal of Radio Republik Indonesia, brings you the latest, credible, and comprehensive news from across Indonesia and the world. Stay updated with a trusted source only at rri.co.id, your reliable online news portal.
Siap? 1, 2, 3. Ingatkah kan dirimu yang pernah menyakiti aku? Kau kecewakan aku, tapi ku maafkan salahmu. Kini berganti kisah, ku menyakiti dirimu. Tapi apa yang terjadi? Kau meninggalkanku.
Salah.
Thank you very much for you who has been listening to our program. You can send your criticism, suggestion, comments, or even question to our WhatsApp number +62 821 2381 2130, +62 821 2381 2130. You can go to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok, VOI_official, and our YouTube channel, VOI Official. I'm Steve. Thank you very much for listening. Have a good one.